It is good to be in church, brother.
Amen.
And it has been good. I typically spend a few minutes during song service looking over my notes, but I heard you guys singing. I was getting excited. I had to pick up the book and join in with you, and that was a blessing to my soul. Man, I am so thankful that he does completely save. That was a blessing. I didn't meet Brother Robert a couple weeks ago, but that was a blessing hearing his testimony and all that the Lord is doing and has done. Is still doing, and I'm just glad that he's faithful, and he's on time. As much as we want him to get us out of here today, well, last week or last year, he's right on time, church, and he's going to be right on time. And let's keep marching on for Jesus Christ, because we need one another in times like this. We just need one another. We do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The local church is God ordained, and it's what he had in mind when he thought of you. So, I think it was appropriate that I came back. I think the Lord was in it. I think it was his will. I so thought it was his will that I gave my wife the keys halfway through the trip and said, "You can drive, babe." I trusted her, and I jumped in the passenger seat and grabbed me a little catnap on the way here yesterday evening. And you know what? He got us here. So it's the Lord's will for me to be before you here this morning. And all kidding aside, it's good to see you guys again. And good seeing the same folks again. So look forward to getting to know you a little bit. Seeing Brother Jim, you're doing good. That's a blessing. I'm glad I was praying for you, brother, and I know you're in good hands here. Yeah. Maybe some sort of spiritual imparting from me to you. I don't know, but brother, you're welcome. I think the Lord knows what he's doing. So I hope I could have been just maybe a little bit of a comfort to you that afternoon. So very good. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Brother, they say getting old is not for sissies. And were we just not talking about it? Boy, oh boy, it's just not. So I gleaned a little something from that myself. I guess that's fitting, you know, if you don't even know you're hurting, that's the best way to go about it. Just like Brother Paul said, I think myself happy, man. I mean, I don't know what's going on. I just play dumb until I get there, man. Oh, man. If you guys want to turn over to 3 John. 3 John, all the way to the end of your Bibles. I like this chapter. It's actually the shortest chapter in our Bibles. Not by verses, but by words. It is the shortest book in the Bible. We know it consists of just one chapter. This is written by the Apostle John, and he's writing it to a man named Gaius, whom he calls his well-beloved. Gaius is something I think we could glean something, a few things from this morning if we'd pay attention to the word here. And I found some help in this chapter, and what I know is the hard thing to do in just a few short minutes I have is to try to relate to you what the Lord has shown me through this passage. So without further ado, let's go ahead and read. We're going to read the whole epistle, 14 verses. We'll pray one last time, and we'll get into this thing. 3 John, verse 1, the Bible says this. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Father, I just want to thank you for this morning and the song service that's already taken place. Lord, we could just lift up your name a little bit, Father, and I know it's even not sufficient, but I pray that you get a little bit of glory out of the things we do here this morning. Father, I pray that we could impart to you a little bit of our strength. Father, we don't have much, but with you, we've got maybe just a little bit of strength left to give you, and I pray that you'd get some glory out of the little bit we could give you. Father, right now, I pray that we could do that with opening up our ears and our hearts to the words of God, and that we could learn about your truths and, Lord, about your Son, Jesus Christ, and really, truly, how much he did for us, and how we could walk together as Christians. Lord, as John called Gaius here, well-beloved, I pray that we could learn to love one another here this morning and better learn to love you. Father, I pray for Sunday school downstairs and children's church, and I pray for everyone's needs here. And again, we lift up Pastor and Miss Lori that they'd get the help they need and the rest that they need and the comfort that they need. And Father, in the meantime, the church here would just remain faithful and strong. Pray that you bless them here this morning, Father. Give me words to speak. And if there's a soul here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that you'd make it plain to them today their need for salvation. Bless our time, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to talk to you about this morning the topic of service or subversion. Service or subversion. We see two men here, actually three men in the passage. I want to touch on two of them here this morning. One that's doing right and serving the Lord, and the other, Diotrephes, we see in verse 9 and 10, who's subverting the truths of God. Shortest book in the Bible, so I will do my best to make it a short sermon for you here this morning and get you guys out of here in a timely manner. I know you have padded pews, so praise the Lord for that. You know, one thing I'm thankful for is that God makes things clear to the Christian who has a desire to know truth, to learn truth. And you know what? He even extends his hand so much to the lost person who's got even just a little bit of desire to know truth and to know him. That's why we can have confidence that the Lord could reach to somebody on the backside of nowhere who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we could trust that the Lord would find a way to send somebody, someone, a messenger of God, to preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ if they have a desire for truth. So that's something I'm thankful for, is that if you have any ounce of desire for truth in your bones, God will give you more truth. And something my pastor says that I take very seriously is that truth rejected, when you reject truth, that truth can become lightning in your life. A truth rejected becomes lightning. And God will use that sometimes to your own destruction. And that lightning, as we know, can scatter things and separate things, and sometimes that thing might just shatter your heart and push you further and further away from God. So my encouragement and my admonition to you, church, is that if God gives you truth, heed it. Heed the warning. Not always is it a warning. Sometimes it's just the promise of God that will help you. Heed that thing. Cherish that thing. Make it yours. Make the promises of God yours. But I'm thankful that he gives us that ability to walk with him and to grow with him. And to be honest, his plan for our lives is never too far out of reach. That plan consists of you walking in the truths of God. And when I got saved, the man that led me to Jesus Christ shared with me this verse in the book of Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him, acknowledge that truth, and he will direct thy paths. That's God. That's how he works. That's how he leads. And that has become and still remains to this day my all-time favorite verse in the Bible. Acknowledge him. Trust him. Put all your chips on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will direct thy paths. No matter what this life brings you, he's going to direct it. He's going to direct it. He's going to direct it for you. He's going to direct it for your pastor. He's going to direct it. He can. He knows what he's doing. But the biggest problem we have in this lifetime as a Christian is listening and being obedient, following those truths, knowing that the paths that God has laid out before us are the right paths, the true paths. And I'm thankful that God just sticks to the old path. Nothing new here today, church. Nothing new. We're just trying to be reminded. We're going to look at a few men here and just try to be reminded about what God wants in our lives. And I'm telling you, he wants you to love truth. He just wants you to love truth and to grow in that truth. You see, the greatness in serving God is not that once you start, your life suddenly becomes more predictable. Because if we look at the man Gaius here and be honest with ourselves, I bet you this man's life was anything but predictable as he served the Lord faithfully from day to day. I can't imagine what it would be like to be. It says that he ministered to people that came through, whether it be missionaries, evangelists, maybe someone who needed a place to rest their heads for the night that came off the street. He was a minister to people. It says strangers and the brethren. He ministered to them. He put them up in the apartment for the night when they needed a place to rest their head. He put a frozen pizza in the freezer when they needed a meal to come through and just take care of them. And I appreciate you guys just taking care of me and my wife coming up here, and we're not having to run around like chickens with our head cut off trying to figure out what to do. And granted, I think there's a Walmart, so I know we'll be okay. But you guys, you've been hospitable. Thank you. And that's how this man Gaius was. He was just hospitable. But I think his life was probably anything but predictable. And maybe you can find yourselves in a time in life, or have found yourselves in a time in life where things are anything but predictable. God's got a way of taking care of you. The greatness of serving God is that when you do step out in faith, he's there to catch you. He's there to catch you. And there's nothing like being swooped up in the arms of Almighty God, like we talked about a few weeks ago with them strong arms. There's nothing like being swooped up in them arms when you step out in faith. Now that's Gaius. He's stepping out in faith. He's serving. He's doing. He's putting out. He's ministering. He's just giving of himself. Just a servant. A servant just gives of himself. Just like our Savior Jesus Christ came and he gave. He gave of himself. He just gave. Whatever needed to be done, he was there. Maybe it was just lifting up a prayer. He was there. Gaius was just serving. On the flip side here, we see in verses 9 and 10 a man named Diotrephes. Diotrephes. John spoke very poorly of this man. The Bible says that he was amongst the brethren, so likely he was in the church. But surely enough, maybe over the course of time, this man Diotrephes became a subverter of the truth. He began that word subvert means to overthrow. To overthrow from the foundation, to overturn, to ruin, to bring to ruin. He took that thing, once knew his Bible truth, he took that thing and he discarded it, and it became his way or the highway. This man Diotrephes is the complete opposite of Brother Gaius here. And I want to tell you, in the church, subversion can be subtle. It can be subtle. And maybe the person who's subverting the truth doesn't even know they're subverting the truth, because they may not be walking with God like they once were. And maybe they're not walking blindly. Maybe they're just walking. Maybe they've caught up in that vein of the course of the world and they're just walking blindly. But they're coming to church. They're doing what they should be doing. They're you know, maybe even they're reading their Bible and trying to get messages together on a Sunday morning. But you know what happens in the course of time when you start to discredit God's truths, when you start to walk according to the course of the world, the time has a way of messing with your mind. Time, isolation, and just being out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ has a way of messing with your mind. And I can't help but think the people that mess with this book are in the same boat as this man Diotrephes. They get away from the book. They get away from fellowship. They get this false sense of fellowship with the Lord, and it's nothing more than eye service and lip service and men's service. They're subverters of the truth. And it's all about making a buck. It's all about the almighty dollar. And I got a feeling Diotrephes. Man, you know, Brother James Lynn said, if it don't make down home country sense, there's a buck in it. Yeah. What Diotrephes was doing here, man, there's something going on here behind closed doors. Yeah. Maybe he was in there messing with the money. Maybe he was in there, blackmailing the deacons. Who knows what was going on in this passage? It's kind of frightening. But back on track here, my desire this morning as we look at these men is to give you some simple reminders to show you just how thin the line is that we walk between service and subversion. Like I said, this thing's subtle. Diotrephes was amongst the brethren. He was in the church. He was doing things the right way. At least he started that way. But you know what then happened? He desired the preeminence. He desired to be maybe where the preacher was. He desired to be maybe where the song leader was. Maybe where the trustees were or the deacons. Subtle. Real subtle. That line we walk on is thin. It's real thin. It's almost like a tightrope thin. You walk in the line of serving Jesus Christ, and that thing is straight and it's narrow. It's precise. And God's got it set up with pinpoint accuracy. And we're supposed to walk that tightrope very carefully with the guidance of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the guidance of a pastor of a local church. We're supposed to walk that line with pinpoint accuracy, with the Lord leading us, trusting the Lord with all that. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Acknowledge him, and he'll help you walk that thing. You can't do it on your own. You're far too susceptible. You're far too susceptible. There's too much confusion. There's just too much. You need authority.
Amen.
You need the authority of the book. You need the authority of a man saying, "Thus saith the Lord." You need your preacher. You need your preacher. You need to be in fellowship. The difference between a Gaius and a Diotrephes is great, but the steps of decline from the pinnacle to the valley is all too short. It's all too short. It's all too short. You know, the Bible says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Church, it's my experience that it's all too easy to lose sight of what we once were before we got saved. Am I right, Brother Rob? All too easy to lose sight of where we were before we got saved. Now we call ourselves servants of God. We need to be vigilant to make sure we don't subvert the truth. I'm going to try to breeze through these points here. I want you to ask yourselves as we look at these verses, am I a Gaius or am I a Diotrephes? You know, the Apostle John here, he had some credentials. And I'd just like to pat him real quick. He had some credentials. First and foremost, we see in verse 1, he's an elder. He's an elder. But we know he wrote the Gospel of John. We know he wrote these three verses. We see him writing the book of Revelation. I just got done reading that this morning, and boy, what a sight he saw, man. That New Jerusalem, man, coming down, the things he got to see, man. I assume those things took place after he wrote this book, and I'm almost positive they did. But man, God trusted this man. God trusted this man, John, and here he is writing an epistle. I think we do ourselves a great service to take heed of what he's saying. And in the Gospel of John, there's some things he elevates to a point of concern, something very important. He's writing the Gospel of John, and we've all read it, we're all familiar with it, but in that Gospel, the word that comes to attention, if you study this thing out, is the word believe, or believeth, or derivatives thereof. That word believe occurs over 90 times in the Gospel of John alone. There's some things that John wrote that God had inspired that John has said, this is super important that you understand and you believe these things. John's got a way of making a point. Now in the book of 1 John, just a couple books before this, the word that comes to mind is know, or knoweth, or to know. That word alone, and we know five short chapters of the book of 1 John, occurs over 30 times in that book alone. There's some things that God wants us to know, and God used the Apostle John to write those things down. One of the greatest books on eternal security, 1 John. There's some things you just got to know, Christian. And John is the one to tell you. He's the one to tell you. And he wants you to know about eternal security. He wants you to know how to walk in fellowship with God. That's what that book of 1 John is all about. It's about the deity of Jesus Christ and how to be a son of God. We do ourselves a great service to read these books. Last but not least, here in 3 John, the word that comes to mind is the word truth. In 14 short verses, he uses that word truth seven times. Seven times. There's some truths in this thing. He's a very black and white writer, you see. It's either sin or it's not. It's either black or it's white. It's either right or it's wrong. John's got this thing down pat, man. It's deep down in his gut. As the old preacher says, he's got it down in his crawl, man. It's It's solidified. He knows what he's talking about, and he's not pulling any punches. He's got the truth. And if you got a King James Bible in your lap this morning, you got the truth. Praise God for the truth.
Amen.
I love it. I love it. I love the truth. I love the truth. You know what the truth will cause you to do? It'll just cause you to do right. Just to do right. You ain't going to hurt nobody. Ain't no one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ going out and taking a life. Ain't no one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ going out and stole, thieving around, cheating, stealing. The book will just teach you to do right. What a precious thing it is in this day and age we live in. I just want to do right because ain't many people doing right. Pardon my English. There are not many people doing right. You guys, they're trying to puff you up. Y'all are gems. You're in church, in a Bible-believing, preaching church. You got some sort of desire just to do right. I do applaud you. I do. Sometimes you need that pat on the back because the day and age we live in, nobody wants to do right. This elder, this man John, he had true charity. That's seen in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Look back one book, if you would, 2 John, verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. You know what that tells me? Not only that John has charity and the ability to love, but there's other Christians there in 2 John that have learned to love. The key word, it's learned. Learning to love the brethren takes time. Learning to love God, it comes pretty easy. Once he sets you free and saves your soul, that comes pretty easy, man. It's instantaneous. But learning to love the things that God loves, church, it takes time. It's learned. And you know what I know is that people ought to know in the church, right? People ought to know that you love them. They ought to just know that you're there, that you care, that you love them. And I'm not saying you got to say, I love you, brother. I went to a church where it was all like hugs and kisses and all this like lovey-dovey stuff. It was weird. It was too much. It was over the top, like way over the top. But every now and then, you're going to cry with a brother. It's okay to say, I love you, brother. I'm here for you, brother. I'm praying for you, brother. I'm grieving with you, brother. Bear you one another's burdens, fulfilling the law of Christ. It's okay to let people know that you love them and you care about them, especially the saints. But I'm telling you, that thing, it takes time to learn, takes time to understand. It takes time to just, you know what it takes? It takes being saturated with the words of God. That's what it takes. John's love was anchored in truth. We see this word beloved or well-beloved all through this third epistle of John. John clearly loves this man, Gaius. I can't help but think that maybe it was his spiritual son in the faith, like Timothy was to Paul. I don't know exactly, but he loved this man because Gaius was loving the saints. Gaius was putting his neck out on the line to take care of the saints. And John said, good work, man. Good job. Keep it up. I wish I could be where you're at right now, but I see you got it handled. Just keep doing what you're doing and do it faithfully. Let's run a couple verses here in 1 John chapter 2. I'm not going to take you far. 1 John chapter 2. True charity. John makes it really personal here. Really personal. I'm just going to pad this point and move on. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Okay? He's saying this isn't a new commandment. He does talk about a new commandment here a few verses later in 1 John chapter 2, and that's seen in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things in the world. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. Turn over with me one page, if you would, to 1 John chapter 3. He's given us no new commandment. Let's see what he's talking about. 1 John chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 23, and this is the commandment. This is what he's talking about. That we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another. Love one another as he gave us commandment. We're supposed to love one another. Turn over to chapter 4, 1 John 4. The Bible says in verse 21, in this commandment, we're still on the same thread here. In this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Loveth his brother also. Man, this thing's deep. This thing's deeper than just surface level. I love some of the be careful how I say this. I love the brethren. I do love the brethren. My greatest friends in the world are Christians, right? They would do anything for me. They've proven that to me. Even in my dumbest of moments, in my worst of times, they've proven themselves to me, and that's why I can trust them and I love them. But you know, not all the brethren are easy to love, right? We don't all line up, right? I mean, we're saved, we're going to heaven, we're going to eventually all get along perfectly, praise God. But you know, we're not all just teddy bears, right? Some of us are sour grapes, right? And in this thing, it takes patience. You want to learn about it, go over to 1 Corinthians 13 and read about charity. Because that thing, charity, it just beareth all things, man. It'll just keep going. It'll just keep going when you get rubbed the wrong way. When you had too many of them sour grapes and you're like, man, I got a sick stomach, just give me a few minutes. Like, I'll catch up with you next week, brother, but you done wore me out this week. You know what I'm saying? Charity beareth all things. It's just patient. It just bears one another's burdens. It just has a way of picking up the yoke and just pulling on forward and being like, you know what? Water off a duck's back. I love Jesus Christ. They love Jesus Christ. End of story. I want to learn to love the things that God loves. That's it. I just want to learn to love those things because it's not always easy. That's like PhD level Christianity. Learning to love the things that God loves. It's not easy, church. But I'm telling you what, you're going to get rewards in heaven for doing that. There's rewards to be had, and there's actually spiritual growth to be had when you learn to love those things that he loves. Look at verse 20 of that same chapter. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? We need to work on it, church. We need to work on it. I'm going to just give you I'm going to give you where this commandment kicked off. It's in the Gospel of John. You don't have to go there. You can go back to 3 John if you'd like. John 13 says this, though. This is when that commandment came to life. John 13, the Bible says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you. This is when that commandment was new. A new commandment I give unto you, says the Apostle John in John 13, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's not just so y'all can get along in church. It's so the world might want to come in church and be like, hey, they're not going to run me off because I'm a little different, because I'm a little weird, because I don't know it all yet, right? The world needs to know that you love each other. They do. It goes a long way. You know, some of the greatest times I've had has been out in the world just cutting up with the brethren, just having a good old time. Maybe we're out street preaching, or we're just out doing something, having some fun. It's okay to have fun with your Christian friends. Just having some fun and cutting up. And people see you and you're like, you guys are the strangest group of people we ever seen. Like, y'all are getting excited about what? No, it's because we got Jesus in our heart. That's it. It's just because we got Jesus. Let's learn to love each other, church. The Apostle Paul agrees with this thing. I'm getting back there to 3 John. When in doubt, line it up with the Apostle Paul. Romans 13 says this in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. You want to make God happy? Fulfill the law. That law. That's a new law, man. That's great. That's great. I can actually work on that. The Old Testament law, I don't stand a chance. Learning to love a brother, give me some time. I'll get there. I'll get there. If you love Jesus Christ, you're going to need to learn to love the things he loves. Back in 3 John. Not only does John make this thing personal, he makes it prosperous. And that's seen in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You know what? I appreciate a God who desires his child to prosper in this lifetime. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, one of my favorite verses as a young Christian is this. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If we observe to do all that is written in his law, meditate on that thing day and night. You know I can't read the Bible every day, all day. I can read it every day, but I can't read it all day. But you meditate on these things. Meditate on the brethren, be praying for them, pray without ceasing. You just do what God has shown you to do. God will prosper you, church. And it's not for us to figure out how God prospers us. It's really not, because the way he prospers me is going to look different than the way he prospers you. But in the book of John, he's talking to Gaius. He says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. He cares about his health. But you know what he cares about more than the man's health is how his soul is doing. The condition of the soul. It's an important aspect. It's the most important aspect. And the most important thing in this Christian life is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to take care of the soul. You focus on that personal relationship, nothing else matters. Your health could be going haywire. Your finances could be going out the window. Your family could be in ruins. But if God's taking care of yourself, or taking care of your soul, and you're tending to the things that God told you to tend to, you'll be singing a song and just physically feel like you're walking through hell itself. And God is just ministering to you, and you're waking up with a song in your heart in the morning, and you can just push on because you've done what God's told you to do, and you're taking care of your soul. That's what prospering looks like to me. I know what we think of when we hear the word prosper. I do. I went to a church that taught those things. You know, if you're going to do right, you know, God's going to take care of you. You put in the box, you put in 100, God will reward you 1,000. It's not how it works. It's just not. My pastor says you put 100 bucks in the box, you're going to be 100 bucks poor, we're going to be 100 bucks richer. And yes, we do cash grumpy checks. So, are you still want to give? I mean, do you want to give? Do you want to give to the work of God? Because I'm telling you, he will prosper you. But it might not, you know, payday doesn't always come on Friday in God's timing. Payday comes when God says it's time. Payday comes when you hit your knees and you realize that God hasn't left you nor forsaken you, and he's still right there where he left you the day before, and you can pick up where you left off, and he's singing a sweet song to you, and you're able to just squeak out a few words and tell him, thank you, God. I love you, Lord. I appreciate you, Father. You're still there. You still care about me. You still love me. You still want me to prosper. I appreciate a God who wants me to prosper in this lifetime. I mean, it's so easy to get bogged down out there. Amen. Man, just stuck in the mud, man, just spinning your tires. Yeah. I've been there, and most times it's my own fault. Amen. My own fault. I'm so glad that there's a better way. John's seen a better way, and so has this man Gaius. There's a chance that Gaius might have been ill. I don't know, but the Bible says that charity beareth all things. John was there just to let him know he cared. I seen a little stack of letters y'all left in the apartment. I haven't read them yet. I don't know what that's all about, but charity beareth all things. I imagine they're just letters of encouragement. I'm going to bring back to my church and share. So thank you. Thank you for doing that, whoever did that. We see a true testimony in verses 3 through 8. John says, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." See, Gaius has got a testimony with John. John knows him. He knows John. I don't know to what extent this relationship goes on, but like I said, he might have been like a spiritual father figure to him. But Gaius was definitely not bragging about himself. Verse 3 says, "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee." Man, don't you love it? I mean, you know what? I love getting good news from the boss at work, and I didn't have to bring it to him. Someone else came and said, "Hey, he's doing good. He's doing all right. He did this, or he did that. That encourages me to know that I'm doing right and it doesn't go unseen. Because a lot of times when we do right, it just goes unseen, unnoticed, unappreciated. But sometimes, oftentimes, more times than we think it does, it's seen, it's witnessed. I'm not saying what you do in your prayer closet is witnessed, but there's one who knows. There's always one who knows. Gaius has got men coming up to John, just singing praises about this man. You see what Gaius is doing? You see how hospitable this man is? You see what this guy's doing? He's opened up a soup kitchen. He's done all these things. He's serving people left and right. The guy just can't stop. He's just a workhorse. He's just voluntarily doing what God told him to do. He's just running his race. Gaius is just running his race. He's just being faithful. Gaius, he's just taking charge of what God put in his life to do. No excuses. None. That brings me to a point in Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says this. My question is, are you running? Are you trying to run? I mean, are you trying to run your race? I'm not saying you're going to be a Gaius. But like, are you at least putting on your shoes, man, trying to tie those things? Are you making an effort to show God that you're trying? Lord, here am I. I mean, here am I. Father, send me. Send whatever you might have for me, God. Are you running? Galatians 5 is a sobering reminder. The Bible says this. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Paul's saying here in Galatians, you did run well. I saw you, Gaius. But you know now what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a Diotrephes. I don't know what happened. I don't know who's hindering you, but someone physically in this context here, someone physically is hindering what's going on here in Galatians chapter 5. But let's take the spiritual side of this thing and let's just ask ourselves, is there something hindering us today from serving God? I want to be a servant. And you know what a servant has to do? They have to die daily to themselves. And they've got to be willing to take responsibility for everything. They're in charge. They're in charge of making sure things are done on time. Things are done correctly. Things are done decently and in order. They may be in charge of putting food on the table when it's time. They may be in charge of leading their kids in a little devotional time when it's time for bed or when they wake up in the morning, or leading them in prayer. Or maybe they're just in charge of showing up at the nursing home and trying to be a faithful minister. Or maybe you're just in charge of taking care of yourself because that's all God's told you to do, and to show up faithfully and sit in the pews every Sunday and every Wednesday just so often as these doors are open. But who did hinder you? Is it peer pressure? Because I know what's going on out there. I tell the people at work, I'm going back to church on Wednesday. I'm going back to church on Sunday. Like, you're crazy, man. You enjoy going? I enjoy going to church. I do. I do. I mean, maybe this is our little loony bin. I don't know. But I fit right in, and it's for me, and it works, and it helps. I don't want anything to hinder me. I just want to be a servant. I want to be a Gaius. And you know what? If people start talking about me, man, so be it. That means I'm doing something right. They shouldn't always be talking good about you. But here you go. He gets a whole letter written to him from people that saw him just doing well. And you know what? What a joy this must have been to Gaius to see this letter. He's just probably blushing reading this thing. Like, you guys are talking about me? Like, dude, I'm just serving God. This is what being a Christian is. I'm just being faithful. Just thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Man, he's a true convert, man. Completely saved. God completely saved this man. He's not only doing something for God, but he's bearing fruit. And you know what? You got a testimony in the church, but you also got a testimony out in the world. And this guy took care of strangers. He took care of the brethren. He took care of whoever came through, man. He's like, you need something? What can I do? You just want to pray? What can I do for you? And it's about quality. It's not always about quantity. It's about quality. It's about your service. It's about making it real and making it right and making it last. We need the mindset that we're just not fast food Christians, man. Just putting out. You know, some of the greatest memories, some of the greatest times people have come and helped me has been when they've actually just, I've got done maybe pouring my guts out to them and they just said, hey, man, sounds rough, but I'm praying for you. That's good, but let's go pray right now. Let's go. Let's go talk to the Lord and let's see what he'll do for you right now. Those are some of the greatest, most memorable, most meaningful times is when someone just, man, just embraces you and helps you and loves you. I appreciate the brethren. I do. I love them. Now we see here in verses 9 through 10, complete opposite of Gaius, this man Diotrephes. He desires a position of power. He's a man with frustrated ambitions. He's not content with the position that God gave him. Diotrephes is not content with the position that God gave him because it's God that promotes every time. It's not of man, it's of God that promotes. He very well may have started off right. In that verse, we see verse 9, I wrote unto the church by Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. There's a good chance Diotrephes was just one of the brethren, one of the boys. Just showing up faithfully. He was probably boisterous, charismatic, probably always had a smile on his face. Just, you know, he was there when the doors were open, stayed late, fellowshipped. But something got inside of him. A desire for the preeminence. The Bible makes it clear here. John's like, you need to watch out for this man. There's a chance that maybe Diotrephes, he says he receiveth us not. Maybe there's a chance that these letters were maybe intercepted by Diotrephes. Maybe John had written more letters. I'm not saying God would have added to this book by any means, but just the thought that maybe John had written more letters to different men, or maybe even other letters to Gaius, or maybe he had tried to get this letter to Gaius sooner, but Diotrephes intercepted that thing. You know why? Because he saw someone else getting the promotion, someone else getting the accolades, and he got envious. Because what's to say that Diotrephes desired the preeminence? Diotrephes had a wicked heart. But I'm not saying he always started out that way. My admonition, my caution, I'm going to move on here for the sake of time, is that we need to watch our hearts, we need to watch our pride, we need to watch our egos, and we need to do what God has us to do. What God has us to do, because I wouldn't like to be on the other side of this in verse 10, wherefore if I come, John speaking, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. If there's some sort of church, I've only seen it happen a couple times in my life, discipline that needs to be handled, it's the pastor and the deacon's jobs to handle that thing. It's not our job. It's our job to the best of our ability to love them, Unless they come in creeping around the kids and being some sort of weirdos, that needs to be handled immediately.
Amen.
Immediately. And I understand that now more so than ever, having two little girls in church.
Amen. That's right.
But you know, if there's something that needs to be dealt with in church, God put people in place to deal with that. And it's their job to deal with it. And they will deal with it. And it will be handled. It's not our jobs to go gossiping about what's going on.
Right.
I bet you the pastor knows more than he leads on to know. Nine point nine times out of ten, the pastor knows more than we even know.
Yeah.
It's just how it goes. It's how God set this thing up. I'm not making it up. I'll be like, how did you know that, preacher? Like, I have sources. I guess you do. I'm a prophet from God here. Diotrephes had no desire to be a servant. Church, I want you to desire to be a servant. Because if you don't, you may end up like this man Diotrephes, a true reprobate. A true reprobate. He's hurting people. He's hurting people. That prating, that word means foolish and hurtful babblings. He's not telling the truth. He's going on and on. He's going on and on about what's important to him, what this church needs, what we need. No, what does God think this church needs? God knows. And God will show up in his timing and give this church exactly what it needs, when it needs it. Just like he takes care of our church and gives us exactly what we need when we need it. Man, I wasn't even looking for a position to work with the youth, but the pastor came up to me 2 years ago. He says, Berlucci, need some help. We've got an issue. Our youth is growing, and we have no one to fill that spot. Now, I want you to go home and pray about taking the spot as the youth director. And you know what? I didn't take that thing lightly, but I didn't go looking for a position. I never did. And you know what? His words, it's like, it shocked me. It was maybe, I was like, preacher, I wasn't even looking for any. He's like, that's why I came to you, because you never even once mentioned it. You never even once mentioned it. That's why you're the man for the job. Man, thank God that he sees what we don't. And oftentimes the pastor sees what we think he doesn't. And he knows exactly what's going on. I'm done with this. There's a true record seen in verses 11 through 14. This man Demetrius, who I'm not going to talk about too much, but he had a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. That's in verse 12. Demetrius maybe seen a little bit of what was going on with Gaius, and I had a feeling they were together somewhere in the same area, maybe in the same church. And Demetrius wanted to get in on a little bit of what Gaius was doing. And they were fellow soldiers together. They were fellow soldiers together. I'm telling you what, you can't pull this thing by yourself. You can't. Times like this, if you want to see God show up and work, we got to come together. We just got to come together, and we got to pull, and we got to just do right. And we got to lay down our egos, lay down our prejudices, lay down our feelings for the brethren who have maybe rubbed us the wrong way. And we just got to get on that plow, and we just, brother Scott, here we go, brother. And we just got to get in the reins, and we just got to pull together. The main thrust of this epistle is seen in verse 11. It's the main theme. It's the whole theme of the book. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. The main theme of this book is to just do right. It's to just do right. That's the meat and potatoes of John's letter. Two simple words that you need to get down in your crawl. Do right. I can appreciate someone who's got a desire to do right. Even if they're lost, they got a desire to do right, to live by some sort of standards and morals. I can respect that man to some extent. To some extent. I'll be done here, church. If this was the only epistle we had on how to live our lives once we had gotten saved, I think it possibly, quite possibly, could be plenty. Here's a synopsis. John says this, walk in truth. Whatever God gives you to do, do it faithfully. Be charitable, especially to the church. Forget titles, give God the preeminence. Love the brethren, don't slander them, be patient with them. Above all, do right. 14 perfect verses to encourage the believer and put the subverter to shame. I'm telling you, church, I want to be a Gaius in the eyes of God. I do. John saw fit and trustworthy to give this man a personal signed letter from John himself. You know, I got a feeling he was able to do that because he knew it wouldn't get to his head. We need to put ourselves down in the position of that servant, like Gaius was. And these letters are to push us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, not puff us up, not give us a desire to have the preeminence like Diotrephes. My question, and I'm done with this, I've said that five times now, is what are God's letters he wrote doing in your soul, in your head? Would a letter like this puff you up? Would it draw you to your knees? So as we go about our week, as you go about the month, I want you to think and ask yourselves, what are God's letters doing for me? Because each and every one of these was written to you personally. Because God knew 2,000 years later we're going to need a book to get us through this life, to teach us how to be servants of Jesus Christ. He knows what we're susceptible to. He knows our hang-ups. He knows our downfallings. He knows what we need, and that's why he gave us a book. I encourage you, church, stay in this book. I'm not done fighting. I pray that you're not done either. He's coming back real soon, church. I don't want to be caught with my hands in my pockets. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just want to tell you I love you and I thank you for giving us a book, giving us 66 perfect letters that can minister to each and every one of us on a personal level, Father. Appreciate your patience with me. I appreciate you putting good men in my life that can direct me and guide me and show me the way, Father, to walk that tightrope. And here we see a man named Gaius, Lord. I appreciate you using men like this in the Bible to encourage us. I pray that things like this wouldn't get to our head, but that it make us take the lesser role and be that of the humble servant like Jesus Christ. I pray that we could see him. I pray that we could desire to be like him, and I pray that we could be more Christ-like today than we ever have been. In this week, I pray that we could focus, Lord, just on your book, on the words of God, and fill up our souls with these words, because I'm sure Gaius, as he took this letter, I'm sure he never once forgot. I'm sure he committed this thing to memory, and he took it with him everywhere he went until these pages were worn thin that he couldn't even read the ink anymore. Lord, the last verse here, the couple last verses, Lord said he's going to see you face to face. John was going to see Gaius here face to face, and Father, one day soon we've got an encounter with you. We're going to see you face to face. And all this time spent here on life on earth here is going to be well worth it when we see you, Father. I pray that you'd say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Father, I don't want you to say anything more, anything less. Help us learn to serve you now so when we see you, that's exactly what you'll say. Bless these people as they go again. Bless their pastor and Miss Lori. Take care of their needs, Father. Hold them up. Keep them together. Help them pull that plow strong and even, Father, in unity. Father, we love you. We thank you and bless the rest of the day. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.